Read David's psalm. He's a complainer. You know? And God blesses him. Okay? Israel complained, and they got stuck in the wilderness and died there. There's a difference. See, David was wrestling with God. Okay? Israelite was complaining in the wilderness. Their complaint was very fleshly. Okay? What do I mean? When the Israelite was complaining in the wilderness, to them, God was a vending machine. He was invisible. He was not powerful. You know, he was not good. He was, you know, God, to them, God was there to serve them, to meet their selfish need. To them, God was weak, small, who don't understand, or who is not wise to handle their difficult situation. That was the difference. See, when I complain to God a lot. I do. But I maintain my faith. I wrestle with God because I believe God is big enough to handle it. Okay? That he's big enough to handle it. Okay? See, you know, when I realized, you know, I took wrestling in high school. Can you believe that? You know? It was a really low weight, you know. I took wrestling, and what I realized about wrestling is I've never been so close to an individual. I mean, you had to use all your strength holding them, and you know, and what God's saying is in that, you know, God wants us to wrestle with him. It is good to wrestle with God when life seems out of control. You know, opposite of wrestling with God, struggling with God is running away, you know, hiding, becoming indifferent, becoming secular, live a pagan life, or rebel against God, or become bitter, or be controlling. God wants to wrestle with us. He wants to have a face-to-face encounter with you. Okay? A face-to-face encounter. You know, as a matter of fact, my wrestling with the Lord is when God became real. Okay? It wasn't because of a very exciting meeting. It's really when my wrestling with him that God is becoming more and more real to me. You know, we allow God to take control when you wrestle with him. That's how I learned to let him take control. Okay. And it's interesting, Jacob, the name Jacob, that name means deceiver. What a parent, you know. I'll name you Jacob, deceiver, you know. And that was his identity through most of his life, until he wrestled with God. Okay. And then he was given a new name, Israel. After that, wrestling. And you know what Israel means? Someone who wrestled with God. Okay? Who will not let him go. No matter even if his hip pocket was out of socket. Somebody who wrestled with God. Somebody who will not let God go. Israel. And guess what? A nation took that name, Israel. Huh? So, wrestle. That's the first step. Okay? After you do that, second step, learn to be still. You know, so you can't just wrestle, but you do that, and then learn to be still. Psalm 46, verse 10 says this, "Be still and know that I am God." Okay? Be still and know that I am God. Read the whole chapter 46. Because if you read the whole chapter in context, you know what it says? The earth gives away. Mountains fall into the sea. Waters roar and foam. Mountains quake. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. Ah, you know, just chaotic. Life seems unfair. It's crazy. And then, be still and know that I am God. Okay. In Psalm 46, okay, he's saying in the midst of the shaking, okay, and God says this in Psalm 46, God is our refuge, our strength, ever-present help in trouble. And it says this twice, the Lord Almighty is with us. The Lord Almighty is with us. He makes war cease. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. Okay? Being still doesn't mean you don't do anything. Okay? It is you wrestle with him, right? You confront with him, and this is not fair. Why is this happening? And as you do that, okay, you learn how to be still. In the midst of that, you got to learn how to trust him. And this kind of still is not easy. It's one some of the hardest things that you need to do. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 11 says, make every effort to enter that rest. Make every effort to enter that rest. See, when you trust somebody, there's this peace. Did you know that? Huh? There's a peace when there's a trust. When there's no trust, and if you have people around you that you don't trust, you have no peace. There's no peace. Okay? There's no peace. But if there's trust, there's peace. The rest is, the Bible, when it talks about rest, is talking about that kind of rest. You're building trust. And it takes a lot of effort. And because when I attempt to be still, there's demons of fear, worry, mistrust, and I can't be still. You know, my trust in the Lord gets shaken. And that's why one of the reasons, and I share with you, I was really struggling a couple of years ago. And I started taking cold shower. You know that. I take cold shower every morning. I must have saved a lot of money on, hot water or something. And the reason is, internally, it was very chaotic. It was very chaotic, And so what I did was turn on the cold shower, coming, and I'll jump in, and I'll this is crazy, why am I doing this? This is dumb. In the beginning, I tried to stay in the cold shower for 5 minutes. And I go, but then I would do it again and again. And what I learned through that experience, when I first go in, I had to first learn how to be still. I had to learn how to be still. And the way I learned how to be still, I start breathing in. Okay? And then my mind will be calm. Okay? And guess what? The water wasn't cold anymore. First time, five minutes. I'm not going to do that again. But then I did a second day. And then I learned over the year how to be calm. I breathe and be calm and still my mind because my mind was so chaotic. Right? Now, turn on the cold shower, I jump in, it takes me 5 seconds to be still. 5 seconds. Sometimes I prepare before, I just go, 2 seconds, okay, I'm done. I could be in that cold shower. And now I'm learning how to be still in other areas of my life. One pet peeve I have caused tremendous stress and anxiety in me. I don't know why, it might be a childhood issue or something. It's traffic. I just don't know why. It just drives me crazy. It's stressed and, I'll be driving down 95 or 80 and then mile away I see all this brake lights coming out, I get all stressed. Oh no, and then once I get stuck, I start getting stressed before the traffic, and then when I'm stuck in the traffic, my whole mind goes crazy. Okay, and what I realize, this is a very important thing that I'm hoping that you can learn this. Okay? There's pain, but your mind makes you suffer. Okay, I don't know. I'm trying to explain this through the traffic. Okay? Because once I'm stuck in traffic, my mind goes crazy. My whole day is ruined. Everything's late. You know, forget it. You know, just forget this day. It's awful. You know, and I start. I must be those construction people, you know. They would pick the rush hour to do this. What kind of evil people are they, you know? And my mind would just, and that would create more stress and more anxiety. My mind would make me suffer. You know, this is what would happen to me. All right? Now, when I see traffic, like 80, you know, I'm driving, and 95 or Route 4 during Christmas, you know, November, you know, Thanksgiving, and December, doesn't matter what time, you know. And I get stuck in traffic, I breathe. And then, you know, what I think about now? I hope. Before I got those materialistic people in North Jersey, they're all shopping. That's why it's a thing. And you know, I get upset at whole North Jersey in that, you know, 30-minute traffic. Well, now I go, maybe there's an accident. I hope they're okay. And I'll be praying. God, please, let there be no accident. And I'm calm. And when I'm calm, the Lord is able to speak to me. Okay? When I'm still, the Lord is able to speak to me. And I stop the domino effect in my mind. Okay? And I kind of realized that. I didn't realize it. Like, I hurt my shoulders a few days ago, lifting. Yeah? I didn't exercise till Christmas or stuff, you know? And then I lifted. So I couldn't turn my head this way, right? And when my back goes out, same thing. You know what happened? When my back goes out, my mind creates the suffering. You know, it caused the suffering. Because once my back goes out, it's just for 3 weeks, I won't be able to do anything. It's just too much. And the pain's going to grow. That's how I would think. Guess what? The next day, there'll be more pain. Third day, it will be more pain. So the pattern that I went through is for about four or five days, my muscle gets tighter and it gets more pain, and then it starts to relax after 5 days. It will be a 2-week journey for me, a painful journey when my back goes out, at least 2 weeks. Okay? Now, you know what I did? You know, my mind would go, okay, now, you know, it's going to get worse. I won't be able to move my neck. And when it went out, what I did was I meditate on things above. I calm myself down. I was just breathing. Yeah? That's all I did. I wasn't even praying for my... And my muscle relaxed. It didn't get worse. Huh? And as a matter of fact, that day, it got better. Right? Before, my mind would cause the tension in my cells, muscle cells. And it would get tighter and tighter and tighter. It would get worse. But I learned how to be still. Right? It took me a year and a half. To learn, I'm getting there to this point of learning how to be still. And now, like, when I'm still, I could hear God more clearly. You know, some of you are saying, you know, the message is getting deeper. Is that true? Encourage me. The sermon. This is getting deeper. People have been coming up to me. And that, you know why? I'm learning how to be still. Did you ever hear a preacher is a bad message? You know why? They're all stressed Saturday night. They're going crazy. Ah, what's on? You know? And when they preach from there, it's not good. It's not good. Well, one time out of 50 might be good, you know? But it's not good. But in the midst of me going through depression, my mind is so chaotic internally. Huh? Very chaotic. What God's teaching me, okay, wrestle with me, it's okay because I love you. And I do. I do. I get angry at God. some stuff. Why? You know? I do. And then I get, okay. Then I learn how to be still. Right? And then he speaks to me. And then point number three, proclaim God's promises. You say that to your neighbor. Okay. And, you know, once I am able to still myself, I proclaim God's promise. You know, we proclaim the truth not because God forgot or he needs to be reminded. When you're going through a difficult time, okay, there's so many lies hitting you. And some of those lies are very powerful. Demons lie to you. The world lies to you. You lie to yourself. You know, others lie to you. Your emotion lies to you. Your mind lies to you. Circumstances lie to you. So when you go through a difficult time, okay, and, you know, wrestle with the Lord, be still, and the lies will be hitting you, but, you know, that you need to know the right thing or we won't be able to make it. Do the storm, okay? We will face, you know, difficulty, rejection, struggle, confusion, you know. There's death. And how are you going to go through this and come out stronger? How are you going to go through the tunnel? Okay? You have to hold on to unchanging truth. Okay, unchanging truth. I've been saying this so much. I don't know if you guys are hearing me. Okay? God is preparing us for revival. Okay? I've been saying this so much. Okay? I need you to hear me. God is preparing us for revival. Amen. Okay? Amen. Okay? But see, the revival that God has planned for us, it's not some temporary thing that's gonna last, you know, 2 months and then disappear. Okay? The revival that the Bible talks about is Holy Spirit power comes upon us, and then we'll go from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. That's God. If it's just like a lot of excitement for 2 weeks, that's human being. Okay? But to be able to hold God's revival, church, you have to navigate through storms. Spiritual attack, conflicts, shaking, hardship, unfairness. You have to. Huh? I think that's why the devil is hitting us, especially this generation, with so much distraction, with phone and apps and media and K-pop. You know, I'm sorry. It just came out. It's just, again, I'm not saying they're evil, but we get so easily distracted now. You know, I did a youth conference a week ago, and I did a worship conference yesterday. You know, the first time, you know, what happened? I guess the speaker couldn't make it, so they asked me. We had That's what happened. You know, there were 70 worship teams, 70 people and worship teams from different churches. Worship leaders got together at a church. We hosted this, and there were supposed to be famous worship leaders supposed to come and teach them and, you know, preach to them and minister to them. You know, there was this famous Vineyard, you know, worship leader, you know, and he couldn't make it, so they asked me. Asked me, you know, and the thing is, the reason I share this is, You know, I saw Viviana come up. She's doing things that she never did. Yeah? And speaking in front of people. And yesterday was something I never did. You know, speaking to worship teams. You know, they wanted to know how to transition with songs. And I have no idea. What do you do? You know, that's what they wanted to know. You know? But I took a risk. I did it. And the Holy Spirit came. That's all I want, the Holy Spirit to come. Amen. Those guys who were there, Holy Spirit came, right? Those are just me. Yeah. But anyway, last week, I did a youth conference, 200 youth. Huh? And, you know, not this youth, but that youth that I did, right? Oh, they get distracted so easily. You know, only thing the devil has to do is mess up their hair, and they'll be distracted. No, I'm serious. I think, you know, you're talking about Jesus, I'm preaching, and they're paying attention, and the only thing the devil has to do, right, just blow some wind on their hair, and it gets a little off, and they go, hey, they're thinking about Jesus, they're hearing Jesus, their hair's off of them, go, hey, my hair. And they would stand up, go to the bathroom, fix their hair, and then come back. That's all they have to do. I feel, that's what I felt like, you know? You know, for some of us, if somebody's nice to me, revival. Someone's mean, no revival. Someone remember my birthday, revival. They forgot. Bitterness, hopelessness. But the thing is, the list will never stop. There are more and more things to stop us from revival. That's what the devil's doing in this world, to distract us. What I'm calling this church to do, let's make it very difficult for the devil. Amen. Let's stop making it so easy for the devil to distract us. Okay? This is what Job says in Job 13. Though he slay me, yet will I hope in him. Psalm 23, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Church, amen. Let's worship. You know, before we worship, just a little background music will be good, but ushers come up for the communion. I thought let's incorporate worship with the communion. You know, let's dedicate ourselves, because there was a night. It was so chaotic, so confusing, so unfair. It was one of the most unfair night in the history of mankind. It was so unfair that literally it became dark. The sun even couldn't shine. That's how unfair it was. Okay? Because the most holy, most righteous, who had no sin, was crucified on the cross. The most unfair night in the history of mankind. That it became dark. But Jesus told his disciples before that dark night. He took the bread and he broke it and he gave thanks. Remember, this bread represents my body. And it will be broken for you. And he took the cup. This is a new covenant in my blood. Drink this in remembrance of me. It was the most unfair night in the history of mankind. And he tells his disciple, I'm doing this for you. Remember me. Can we have you come? Take